Now I'm going to ask you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And we are looking with thanksgiving backward for the wonderful experience we've had in preparation for the Lord's table and then having the privilege this morning of partaking. Now we look back with thanksgiving. This is a passage that in many ways, for me, defines thanksgiving and the Lord's understanding of thanksgiving. It may be a blessing to us as we deal with this passage. First of all, I'm going to take some liberty here. I think I will just preach my way through this account, so you will keep your Bibles open, and I hope the pastor won't be upset with me for not reading the full scripture and then dealing with it. I'm going to work my way through it, and so you can do that with me. Christ is he's on his way, going through what we would call today the West Bank. He's going down from Galilee, down to Jerusalem. It's his last time in Jerusalem. There he will introduce the communion service, and there he will die on Calvary's tree and then be raised from the dead. He's on his way to the end. And as he opens his way through a certain village, there are 10 men who meet him. They are lepers. The only way that they had of dealing with leprosy in that day and in most places of the world today, 2,000 years later, is to put them aside because they have a disease that is infectious. And so these 10 men were put aside almost in a camp outside the city, the village, when Jesus arrives. Let me read it to you beginning in the first verse. The 11th verse, Gospel of Luke, 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Let me pause there. Many years ago in the Orient, I preached in a very large church in which, apart from the translator and myself, they were all lepers. In a village, and those who had the most advanced of the difficulty were in the back. What happens is the extremities, the nerve extremities, die. The hands begin to wither, and particularly the feet. And they have no feeling. And they often cut and maim themselves. And then sometimes it affects even the upper parts of the body. And it is a very difficult disease. And when Jesus is approaching, they know who he is. They know that apparently he has healed before, and they call out to him, have mercy on us. They're calling out, heal us. He stops. He stops. And he does a very strange thing. They cannot approach him. That is against the law for a leper. No contact. And so they are calling out to him. He stops. And then he tells them something which sounds very strange to us. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, why would he say that? Well, this was in the day of Christ, God controlling his people directly. It was a true theocracy. And in this theocracy, the way he controlled his people in the villages would be through the priests. And the priests there would have control not only religiously of the community, but they were also the legal officers of the community, and they were the medical officers. Interesting. Medicine, law, and the ministry. Interesting. Those three professions or callings don't get along very well in the United States. I once took a year out on a Tuesday morning, every Tuesday morning, and I got two lawyers and two preachers, another guy and myself, and two medical doctors, and we tried to understand why there was trouble. And it was a very interesting and a very profitable time for me to try to understand their thinking and why they were. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. The priest would be able to examine them as a medical officer. He would be able to, as a legal officer, give them a writ saying that they were clean and they could go back to their families. They could go back to their jobs. You could understand. It's a wonderful and gracious experience for them when they were healed. Go show yourself to the priests. Now they stood there. And a very interesting thing happens. Let me read that to you. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. They were not cleansed when they stood there. I don't think they moved immediately. I'll just bet this is what happened. They stood there, and one said to another, I thought he'd come over here. Touch us. And then one said, I'm going. And as he started out, the other nine followed him. And something happened. We're very much in the same position here tonight. You see, all you have is a word from Jesus. And if you sit there and do nothing, you'll never get healed. The scripture says, as they went, they were healed. Not when they just took it. In other words, act. Act upon the word. The word's been powerful here tonight. The scripture that has been read. Act somewhere, somehow, on something that God has said, and I trust even in this sermon. The scripture says that as they went, they were healed. I wonder what that was like. You know, the feet are affected, as I mentioned. Great missionary, Philip Bryan, spent much of his life as a missionary in India, and a lot of it had to do with nothing but the feet. But anyway, that's another story. He's a great, great man. Wrote a great book. Remember the name of that book? Forget it. It's a great book, though. It was a great book. Anyhow, here's what I think happened again. In your mind's eye, I think they, one says, I'm going, and the rest of them go. They've got trouble with their feet. And a miracle occurs. A miracle is not something where, we call it a miracle. A man is sick and over a period of time, the diagnosis is not good, and over a period of time, and then suddenly he begins to get better, you know, and 6 months later we say, miracle. No, that's not a biblical miracle. It is a blessing of God. A biblical miracle was just like that. Complete and quick and immediate healing. These men are hobbling toward the village where the priest is, and suddenly they are healed, and suddenly they break out in a 100-yard dash. Their feet and everything is healed, and they're on their way back to their wives, back to their children, back to playing golf, back to everything. And then something else happens. As they are rushing back, healed, rejoicing, one of them stops, and the other nine have to hip around him like a halfback. And they say, what's wrong? And he said, in effect, I'm going back across that field to say thank you. Let me read it to you. And what happens? As they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner to the covenants? And he, Jesus, said to him, rise up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The word means whole. The other guys were made well, weren't they? Not like this one. They were made well physically. This man was not only made whole physically, he was made whole inwardly. God blesses his inward heart and life. Let's look at this whole story. Let's look at it from the point of those 9 men who did not return to give thanks. The reading in Deuteronomy just a minute ago in the 6th chapter says, when God brings you, he's talking about when the children of Israel cross over and get into the promised land, the second giving of the law, when they get in there and God blesses you in every way, don't forget to be thankful. Don't forget. I suggest to you, the explanation of those 9 men was easy. I'll give you some illustrations. Jane and I pastored in a very small town in South Alabama, Brewton, Alabama. We're both learning how to minister. This Sabbath, we've got these 4 boys, and we live right next to the church, and the staff was me. Everything was on. I did it all on Sunday in the morning. I had classes in the afternoon. I dealt with the young people. I preached, and then I dealt with the older of the young people. And then I got these 4 boys, and we're trying to honor the Sabbath day. And they're told you can't get out and do like the other heathen do, the elders' kids. They can't go out and do. You know what's wrong when they say, whatever happened to the preacher's boys? Yeah, they just turned out terrible. And I say, well, they had to play with the elder sons. And you know, the Sabbath got to be a little trial there. And then Miss Jane, bless her heart, she always comes up with the right procedures. In the middle of the Sabbath day, we would gather around the round table where we had our prayers, and Jane would come out and give us a tall, frosty Coca-Cola. It was the only, back then, it was the only Coca-Cola we had all week. On the Lord's Day, in the middle of the day, it was just a time of tremendous refreshing. We get called to Gadsden, Alabama. We get there and I preach on a Wednesday. We get there on a Tuesday. Wednesday I preach. And on Thursday, the boys are off to school. And Thursday, while we're still unpacking, this knock on the door. And there stands the president of the local Coca-Cola company, who is an elder in the church, Ralph Langford, who's got two boys who wind up. One is a chaplain and the other goes down as a missionary to Peru. We saw him in Peru. There is Ralph Langford, great man, and he's carrying four cases of Coca-Colas. You know those old-fashioned wooden cases, 24 Coca-Colas? He said, preacher, these are not for you. These are for your four boys, not for you. I say, thank you, Ralph, and I'm thinking, you don't understand what you're doing, but I say thank you. For these Coca-Colas. When the boys came back from school that day, and I said, every one of you has got a case of Coca-Colas. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. And on Sunday, lo and behold, everybody has gone. We get in the car, and I got those boys hemmed up in the back seat, and who should come around the corner of the church but Ralph and Lib Langford. And I call Ralph over. I say, come over, Ralph, please. He comes over to the car. As he's approaching, I say to the boys, this is the man that gave you the Coca-Colas. What are you going to say to him? And Ralph comes and he cuts down and in the back, and these boys are in the back, and the boy looks up to him and he says, sir, we're out of Cokes. Oh, I'm thinking, I could have wrung his neck. And you see, all that kid has got to do is grow up. It comes naturally. That's why God tells the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, don't forget when you get blessed. These guys, I'll give you another illustration. I'm on this plane going to, it was a while back, going to San Diego because I was going to preach down in the Baja to the Mexican, the Church of Presbyterian Church of Mexico, to their presbytery. And I was a little concerned because I've got to preach and use a translator, and that causes difficulty. And so I get in that plane, and lo and behold, the seat next to me is empty, and I'm saying, man, oh man, I got a chance to go over all of this, and we're getting ready to. And the door is just about ready to close, and this guy walks down the aisle, the only seat left, and he comes and he sits right next to me. And I got my Bible out, and I got my notebook. He sits down. The plane is taking off. He looks at me. He says, you a preacher? And I said, but he didn't say it like that. He said, you a preacher? I said, yes, I am. Nice. Yes, I am. Now, what kind of a preacher are you? And you guys like that, you got a deal. I said, I'm a good one. And he said, no, what kind of a denomination? I said, I am a Presbyterian. And he says, one of those predestined guys, eh? And I said, yes, I believe in the biblical doctrine of predestination. And I realized this guy is a church member. He knows something. The plane takes off. He's a little bit testy. I don't know why. And after a while, he says, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Go ahead." I knew what was coming. He said, "You probably never heard anything like what I'm going to tell you." And he begins to tell me about his life and some sins. I've been in the ministry for a number of years. I've been in the United States Infantry for 3 years. I knew what sin was. And yet he was telling me, like, "You never heard anything like I'm telling you." And I'm sitting there saying, "I've heard it all. I've heard it all." And he tells me about his sins, and I said, "I've heard it all," to myself. And then I say, "Except one sin." After 50 years in the ministry, across from desks, airplanes, walking, talking, confession, one sin I've never heard a man say, "Preacher, I am filled with ingratitude." Not once. Interesting, isn't it? Not once. Why is that? I'll tell you why. We all think we're thankful. That's why. We don't even think of ingratitude when we are listing our sins. The Lord Jesus looks at this man at his feet, and the Lord Jesus says, "Where are the other nine?" Mind you, they've just been healed. "Where are the other nine that did not return to give thanks?" I think this is what happened too. I think when they hipped around this guy and they said, "What's that?" He said, "I'm going back to say thanks." I think they said, "He knows my heart. He knows I'm thankful." And I am. I'm thankful. But Jesus did not accept that, that warm, fuzzy feeling of thanks. That was not for him a thanks. You know what was a thanks? This one guy that fell down at his feet, came back and fell down and praised God. And Jesus said, "This is thanksgiving. What happened to the other nine?" You know what thanksgiving is? It is an act. You do something. And it involves a sacrificial act. He could have gotten back there and got his little signature from the doctor priest. And he wanted it too, I'm sure. Like all these, and his family and everything else. He didn't go. He stopped and he came back in an act of thanksgiving. That's what thanksgiving is in the eyes of Jesus. It is not a warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. Jesus said to that man, and I think he probably it just poured out of him, "Stand up and you're on your way. You go. You've really been made whole. You got it all. You've got it all." Why was Jesus so concerned that these nine did not return? Wouldn't Jesus just have been understanding enough to say, "Well, Lord, you know, their families and everything else. Why, Lord, are you so upset? Why?" I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to read this. You just listen. "Although men knew God, they did not honor him as God, nor give thanks to God. And they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, reptiles. And God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity. And you know the first impurity that is mentioned? Sexual impurities. The judgment of God was simply, okay, you won't honor me, nor will you give thanks. Jesus put those two together. And the Bible says, God said, I let you go. That is the judgment of God. To let us go the way we are inclined. And to let us go into an unthankful heart. And what happens? You get mixed up crazily. The first thing is sex. And it's the kind of sex in which men begin to express love for men and women for women. First thing, right out of the box. And it's dealt with a thankless heart. That's why Jesus is upset. And that's why Jesus says, where are those nine? They did not return and come to me and say, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to see so many young people here. And to see them in the service this morning. And I had the joy of talking to the high school group. You young people want to get to the place where you really got the blessing of God? You've got to have a thankful heart. Is your mama still alive? Is your daddy still alive? Then do something. Do something. Started a program, 15 elders and me. First thing we were asked to do was go home that night and express thanks to somebody. Write a letter, somebody way in the past, somebody that you should have been saying thank you to. We come back the next Monday night. 11 of the 15 men said thank you to the same person. You know who that person was? Not me. You know who that person was? Our wives. Our wives. 11 out of 15. And they thought about it. How about it, man? Have you expressed by act? And boy, I'm going like this right now. Have you expressed thanks to your wife? 11 out of 15. Are you an American? Are you thankful for this country? My mother and father used to tell me all the time, boy, you better be thankful that you were born in this country. They love Scotland, but you better be thankful that you're born in this country. You pray for this country. We're housed down there all this weekend with a group of military people. We said thank you to them over and over again. God bless America. you better be thankful that you're born in this country. I doubt you'd have a meeting like this hardly in any other place in the world. Maybe a few countries. You could count them on one hand on a Sunday night. God bless America. Then do something. I don't know what, but do something for America. And finally, are you thankful for the independent church? Then do something. If I'm thankful, I will biblically do something. And you young people, raise up that little girl, raise up that boy. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. And show them what it means to be thankful. But most of all, we are thankful for Sunday communion at the feet of the cross of Jesus Christ. For what he did for us, he went down the road to Jerusalem. And those men, they were sick. We were spiritually sick. He loved us and he died for us and rose again. He died to take away our sins and to restore us into fellowship. Let's show that we're thankful by our lives. Show it as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for so many things tonight. They just pour through. Even those of us who have real trials and tribulations and face them when we leave here. You tell us in your word, in all things, not only in the sweet things, but in the heartaches as well, in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. And so in all things tomorrow that happen in our lives, we will give you thanks. And then we will pick out certain things. But most of all, Lord Jesus, we are thankful. We want to serve you in such way that we express our thanks over and over again. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, come quickly and take us all back home and back to everything you have for us. We say with the saints of old and we say with the end of the Bible, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.